In this session, we shall look at the taxation of estates in the course of administration. Before we look at the taxation issues, it is worth spending a few minutes looking at the legal background. Executors are appointed by the deceased in the will. At the date of death, the assets of the deceased pass to the executors. The executors take legal ownership of the assets at the date of death, although this will be formally recognised once the executors have obtained grant of probate. The executors have a number of duties and responsibilities under English law. The executors must determine the assets and liabilities of the deceased at the date of death. One of their first responsibilities will be to make application for probate. Application is made to the probate registry and gives formal recognition to the vesting of the assets in the executors. Having determined the assets and liabilities of the deceased, the executors must collect the assets and ensure that all liabilities are settled. The executors must deal with the revenue and settle all tax liabilities arising both as a result of death and in respect of income and gains made by the executors during the administration period. We shall look at these duties in detail during the course of this session. Finally, the executors must distribute the estate in accordance with the will of the deceased. Distributions are made to nominated beneficiaries of the estate, and we shall look at the way the beneficiaries are taxed in the next lecture. There are a number of potential tax liabilities arising to the executors as a result of death. One of the first tasks will be to complete the deceased's income tax return, covering the period from the 6th of April to the date of death. If any returns are outstanding for any previous tax years, it is the executor's responsibility to arrange for these returns to be submitted and for the tax affairs of the deceased to be brought up to date. The executors will settle any income tax owed by the deceased for the tax year of death and for any previous years if appropriate. Any tax owed to the revenue at the point of death is treated as a liability of the estate for IHT purposes. Therefore, the income tax returns must be finalised before the IHT liability can be correctly calculated. The return will also include any capital gains in the year of death. Again, any CGT due is a liability of the estate for IHT. If any income tax or CGT is repayable to the executors, the repayment is an asset of the estate and will be included within the IHT computation. It is the executor's responsibility to arrange for payment of any IHT arising on the death estate. The executor will submit a form IHT 400, and the form will include a calculation of the IHT due. Remember that the executor is only responsible for settling any IHT due on the free estate. Tax on lifetime gifts within 7 years of death will be paid by the donees, although details of the transfers will be included in the IHT return. Similarly, any assets held on qualifying IIP trust will also be included in the IHT return, although the tax will be settled by the trustees of the Interest in Possession Trust. The IHT return and the tax on the death estate must be discharged before application for probate can be made. Finally, the executors will submit tax returns giving details of any income and gains accruing to them during the period of administration. Certain assets within the death estate will produce income. As this income legally belongs to the executors until such time as the assets are distributed, the executors will pay any income tax on this income. Similarly, if the executors sell any assets and make a profit, the executors will have a CGT liability. We will look at the taxation position of estates in administration over the course of the next few pages. As mentioned, one of the first tasks of the executor will be to prepare the income tax return for the year of death. Income arising between 6th of April and the date of death must be included on the deceased's tax return. If the deceased had trading profits or rental income from a property business, the income should be calculated on an accruals basis. Death will be a cessation of trade for trading income purposes, so time apportionment of trading profits will be required. Income such as employment income, interest or dividends will be taxable on a receipts basis. Therefore, any bank interest or employment income earned before death but actually received after death will be reflected on the executor's return and will not be disclosed on the deceased's personal return. It is therefore important that the correct income is allocated to the correct period. Full personal allowances are available in the year of death. Therefore, if a taxpayer dies in the early part of the year, it is possible that taxable income may be covered by allowances and a tax repayment could result. The return must also include capital gains for the period before death. A full annual exemption is available for the year of death. If the deceased made capital losses in the tax year of death, these losses may be carried back for up to 3 years. Such a claim may generate a CGT repayment, which, in turn, would be included as an asset of the estate for IHT purposes. As we have mentioned, any tax liabilities at the date of death are deductible expenses when calculating IHT on the death estate. The executor's administration period will start at the date of death. Any income and gains arising after the date of death will be included on the executor's income tax return. This will include interest and dividends earned before death, but paid to the executors after death. Tax returns must be submitted by the executors for the period from the date of death to the end of the administration period. This period may straddle more than one tax year, in which case returns are required for each separate tax year. The administration period comes to an end once the residue of the estate has been ascertained. This is usually before the date on which the assets are finally distributed to the beneficiaries. The date the administration period is completed will usually be the date to which final estate accounts are made up. The executors are bound by normal self-assessment rules, i.e., returns are filed by the 31st of January or the 31st of October, depending on whether the executors choose to file electronically or non-electronically. The interest and penalty provisions are the same as for individuals. The way we tax executors on their estate income is a relatively straightforward exercise. Executors are taxed in the same way as an interest in possession trust. Non-savings income, for example trading income, rental profits or employment income, is taxed at the basic rate of 20%. Interest is taxed at the lower rate of 20%. Dividends are charged at the dividend rate of 10%. No relief is available for expenses incurred by the executors in managing the estate. The executors cannot claim personal allowances to set against their estate income. The effect of these rules is that the executors will only pay tax on their untaxed income. If interest is received net of tax, the tax credit satisfies the liability and no additional tax is due. There is no extra tax payable on UK dividend income. If the executors have taken out a loan to pay the inheritance tax, any interest on the loan is a deductible payment. This may be the case if the executors need to pay the IHT quickly in order to secure probate, but there is little cash within the estate. Relief is only available for interest paid within 12 months of the loan being taken out. Interest paid after this date is not deductible for tax purposes. The deductible payment is deducted from non-savings income in priority to interest or dividends. If the interest paid exceeds the gross income for the year, the excess payments may be carried back and offset against estate income of the preceding tax year. Thereafter, any excess deductible payments may be carried forward. By way of an illustration, assume Bert died on the 25th of June 2010. Bert owned an investment property producing rental profits of £12,000 per annum. Bert had a job and his salary of £4,000 for June 2010 was paid to his executors on the 30th of June. PAYE of £1,000 was withheld. On the 1st of October 2010, the executors took out a loan of £50,000 to meet the IHT due. Interest is charged at a fixed rate of 10% per annum. On the 31st of December 2010, the executors received annual interest of £2,000 on the National Savings Account. On the 1st of February 2011, the executors received a final dividend of £900 in respect of the company year ended 31st of December 2010. We'll demonstrate how to calculate the income tax liability of the executors on their estate income in 2010-11.
The executors received a payment of salary on the 30th of June 2010 of £4,000. Employment income is taxed on a receipts basis, so this income is taxable on the executors. The deceased had an investment property producing rental profits of £12,000 per annum. We apportioned this for 2010-11. As Bert dies at the end of June 2010, 9/12 of the rental profits are assessed on the executors, being £9,000. The £2,000 interest on the National Savings Account is paid gross. The dividend of £900 is received net. This grosses up to £1,000. The executors took out a loan on the 1st of October 2010 to pay the inheritance tax. The loan was £50,000, and interest was paid at a fixed rate of 10%. The interest paid in 2010-11 is therefore £2,500, and this can be deducted from non-savings income as a deductible payment. The next step is to tax the taxable income. The non-savings income is taxed at the basic rate of 20%. This gives £2,100. The untaxed interest is taxed at 20%, giving £400. The dividends are taxed at 10%. The tax credit on the dividend satisfies the liability, therefore no extra tax is due. PAYE of £1,000 was deducted from the salary, leaving total tax payable by the executors of £1,500. This is payable on the 31st of January 2012 under normal self-assessment rules.
We shall now turn our attention to capital gains tax and UK estates. Executors are deemed to have acquired the assets of the deceased at the date of death at a base cost equal to their market value at death, i.e. the probate value. If the executors have made post-mortem relief claims under which the value of certain assets, most commonly quoted shares and land, has been adjusted for IHT purposes, the new adjusted value will become the CGT base cost. The executors are liable to CGT on any gains made by them on disposals during the administration period. Normal CGT rules apply to calculate the gain. The executors receive an annual exemption for the year of death and the next two tax years only. Therefore, if the administration period continues beyond three tax years, annual exemptions will not be available in the later years. The exemption is the same as that for individuals, that is £10,100. Capital losses are set against gains in the same year, and any excess losses are carried forward. Capital losses cannot be carried back or used against any disposals made by the deceased prior to death. There is no provision whereby unused capital losses can be transferred to beneficiaries. Therefore, any unused losses at the end of the administration period will be wasted.
The rate of CGT to be applied to estate gains is 18% for disposals on or before the 22nd of June 2010 and 28% for disposals after the 22nd of June 2010. These rates are the same as those for UK trusts.
Finally, a distribution of an asset by the executors to a beneficiary in settlement of a legacy under the will is not treated as a disposal for CGT purposes. If a beneficiary is left an asset under the terms of a will, he or she is deemed to have acquired the asset at the date of death for its probate value. Therefore, the value of the asset at the time it is actually distributed is irrelevant. Principal private residence relief can be available if the executors sell the main residence of the deceased. PPR relief is available if the house was also the main residence of the beneficiary, who is entitled to 75% or more of the proceeds of sale under the will. In order to obtain legal title to the assets of the deceased, the executors will incur certain costs, in particular costs of obtaining probate. Under general CGT principles, the cost of establishing one's title to an asset is an allowable deduction for CGT purposes. Therefore, in calculating the executor's gain on the sale of an asset, a deduction can be made for any costs of obtaining probate. The revenue gives the executors two choices. Relief can either be claimed for the actual costs of obtaining probate, or alternatively, a deduction can be taken for a fixed percentage using the scale rates laid down in Statement of Practice No. 2 of 2004. We shall look at how SP2 of 2004 works by running through an example on the next page. You may therefore like to look in your tax statutes and have the statement to hand.
Gerald died on the 10th of April 2010. He left his entire estate to his wife. At the date of his death, Gerald had three assets. He left a private house worth £300,000, some quoted shares worth £250,000, and an investment property worth £100,000. The executors sold the private house on the 31st of August 2010 for £320,000, thereby making a gain of £20,000. As the house is the main residence of the beneficiary, and the beneficiary is entitled to at least 75% of the sale proceeds, the gain can be covered by PPR relief. The executors sold the quoted shares in September 2010 for £275,000. The gain will be chargeable to CGT. The executors incurred £500 of probate costs in obtaining title to the shares. In October 2010, the executors transferred the investment property to the wife in satisfaction of her legacy.
The distribution of an asset to a beneficiary under the terms of the will is not a disposal for CGT purposes. Gerald's wife is deemed to have acquired the property at the date of death with a base cost of £100,000. We now need to calculate the CGT payable by the executors on the sale of the shares. The sale proceeds are £275,000. The executors acquired the shares at their value at death, i.e. £250,000. A deduction is also available for the costs incurred in acquiring title to the shares. The actual probate costs in respect of the shares were £500. However, an alternative deduction can be taken under SP2 of 2004. The scale deduction is a fixed percentage, depending on the gross value of the estate. Gerald died leaving a gross estate of £650,000. For estates between £500,000 and £1,000,000, the scale deduction is 0.8% of the probate value of the asset sold. The shares had a probate value of £250,000, giving a scale deduction of £2,000. The allowable deduction is the higher of the actual cost or the scale deduction, here being £2,000. The gain is £23,000. After deducting the annual exemption of £10,100, the taxable gain is £12,900. CGT is payable at 28%, being £3,612. There are one or two practical rules regarding tax returns for executors. The tax affairs of the executors are normally dealt with by the tax office which dealt with the deceased. However, if the value of the estate exceeds £400,000, or a trust was established under the will, the executor's affairs will be dealt with by a trust district. The normal 6-year time limit exists for the revenue assessing or repaying any tax. This can be extended in the event of fraud or negligence on the part of the executors or the deceased. As the administration period for certain estates may last for more than 6 years, a special time limit exists to cater for such a circumstance. This allows assessments and repayments to be made for any year. The assessment or claim must be made within 3 years of the end of the tax year in which the administration of the estate was completed. Executors can ask the revenue to issue a tax return before the end of the relevant tax year. This may be convenient if the administration period has been completed and the executors do not want to wait until the following April to complete the estate return. The executors can also ask the revenue to give written confirmation that they do not intend to open an inquiry into the tax return. This will enable them to complete the administration of the estate and apply for a certificate of discharge, safe in the knowledge that the revenue will not seek to alter the figures submitted. Whilst the revenue has said that such confirmation will normally signify the end of its interest in the tax affairs of the estate, they have commented that they would not be precluded from raising a discovery assessment in exceptional circumstances if the return has been found to be incorrect or incomplete.